Hot stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Owen Main here. I got a chance to talk this week with Dave Grant. Dave is a Cal Poly play-by-play guy. He actually does a lot of the sports that aren't men's basketball, baseball, and football. He does sports like women's soccer, men's soccer, volleyball, women's basketball, softball, and others at Cal Poly. And I got a chance to talk to him about the upcoming fall sports season, in particular the women's soccer team, men's soccer team, and volleyball team, get his impressions on his first year. Last year was his first year at Cal Poly. He came up to Cal Poly from Saddleback College in Orange County. And Dave talked a little bit about each of the teams he'll be doing play-by-play for this year. And I hope you enjoy it here on the Fansmanship.com podcast.
I'm here with Dave Grant. Dave, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Dave does play-by-play. Last year was his first year with Cal Poly doing play-by-play mostly on the internet for different sports. The first time I heard Dave was in the men's basketball team's victory. I think it was a 38-36 game at USC and at the Galen Center. And I thought to myself, you know, I didn't know if it was somebody who's connected to Cal Poly or maybe somebody they hired outside. But glad to have him with us. Fall sports are coming up.
They are.
And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the fall sports that are coming up and learn a little bit more about who you are, too. I think the face that everybody thinks about or the voice that everybody thinks about with Cal Poly, and I think you'd probably agree, is Tom Barquette.
Right.
Because he's on the radio. He's on 1280. He's the guy you'll hear most often. But for some of the sports that aren't football or men's basketball, and you do men's basketball when there's the overlap a little bit.
Right.
For things like women's basketball, soccer, volleyball, it's going to be Dave who you're in softball too.
Softball too.
Right. Yeah. So it's good. It's Dave who you'll hear. Dave, tell us a little bit about like how you got to San Luis, what your background is.
How I came to be.
Yeah, how you came to be.
Well, I grew up in Orange County. Cal Poly offered me a job last year. I was at a junior college in Mission Viejo, Saddleback College. Did a couple games, or a couple years, I should say, of some football. Ended up doing baseball. I was able to talk to the station director. Saddleback has a jazz station. And I was able to talk to Terry Waddell, the station director, into doing baseball. Had been on his case for a couple years. And got a really good following. And sent out emails and stuff after the season. Even got a chance to do the 2011 Junior College Baseball State Championships for the state of California, so that was fun. And I was able to make a contact with Cal Poly and heard from him at first, and then the season or the summer kind of wore on a little bit, and I thought, all right, you know, it was just kind of a bite, but nothing really big. And Cal Poly came back with an offer, and here I am today, but beautiful place to be and a lot of fun.
So you've been in San Luis for about, what, a year and a half now?
Oh, not even. Nine months. Even.
9 months.
9 months.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Just right since, like, what, October of last year?
October. Yeah. We actually, October 1st, I believe, was when we first got here. Yeah. The 30th of September, I think.
So it's certainly a little bit of a culture shock from Orange County. What's the biggest kind of surprising thing, and what was kind of the biggest, I guess, the best thing about coming to San Luis? What's the most surprising thing, first of all, about kind of moving to San Luis from a place like the OC?
The surprising thing is just the speed of life. You know, moving from going, you know, I don't know, a couple off ramps, it takes you maybe 10 or 15 minutes when there's traffic. Here, the freeways are wide open, and the people, just the atmosphere. People seem so much happier here, you know, and Orange County's great, beautiful place to be. I mean, I'll always call that home, but my birthplace, but the Central Coast is a ton of fun. And I'd say the people and the traffic for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's what a lot of people say is the traffic. I was just out on the 101 on my way here, and there was a little bit of like a couple people putting their brakes on, and it was really weird to see it. You don't expect it here.
Right.
What for you? You do. Let's count off all the sports that you
yes,
that you do play.
You're gonna need two hands, I think.
Men's soccer, women's soccer, volleyball.
Volleyball.
And there's no men's volleyball at Cal Poly.
Right. There's no men's volleyball. I was hoping, but that's okay.
You're talking about women's basketball.
Women's basketball, men's basketball. If I have to, if I'm able to.
When Tom's doing football,
right,
mostly,
football.
Right? Yeah. When there's overlap.
And there should be some overlaps this season too. So.
Sure. Sure. So you're looking forward to that. So that's what, five. What else happens during the winter that you do that I'm missing? Is that it?
Let's see. Well, I mean, and then spring comes baseball.
Baseball,
softball. Filled in for baseball on ESPN. Was able to do the Oklahoma State series. Mm-hmm. I did the Washington series, so that was a lot of fun on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And then softball. head coach Condon. A lot of fun to work with. Great lady.
Yeah.
So softball, baseball, women's basketball, a touch of men's basketball, men's and women's soccer, volleyball. So I think that's six or seven.
Seven, yeah. Awesome, awesome. That's quite a variety, an array. I'll start with what I think is probably the most difficult one to call, and we can talk about the women's volleyball team a lot here at the beginning. So what – am I right? Is it the hardest one to call?
I'd say volleyball. Well, volleyball, to be honest with you, it isn't really extremely difficult. You just don't want to say too much. There's a lot of action going back and forth. Who had a dig? Who had a kill? Stuff like that. Who's setting up? You know, and key names and stuff during the play-by-play, but you don't want to say a whole lot. I would say volleyball is probably the toughest for myself to get acclimated to, especially doing a game like football where it's a little bit slower. Basketball tends to pick it up. I like to say I do the fast sports first. You know, you have soccer. Well, soccer's a little bit slower, but then in the middle you have, you know, volleyball, which is fast, basketball, which is fast, and then you have a cool-down period, which is baseball and softball. So.
And baseball and softball, you have to kind of have yeah.
Lots of filler.
Yeah, a little slower. And I'm talking with Dave Grant from GoPoly.com is where you'll find him a lot when you click on the live feeds of the game. Tell me a little bit about the volleyball team last year. They were in a year of transition. I spoke actually with their new coach, Sam Crossan, this week, and just kind of wanting your take on the team from last year to this year. It seems like for me, a team that was in that much transition and that much, I guess, tumult, and everybody kind of knows all the things that went on. A team that was in that tumultuous kind of a situation, they had a respectable record for that. And for everything that was going on, they were only a number of games below 500. They weren't
right. They
weren't kind of bottom feeders. And that might be what I would have expected. Tell me a little bit about how last year was for them.
For volleyball, I mean, especially getting myself kind of going right into the fire, getting thrown into the fire and doing the play-by-play for volleyball was a lot of fun. They finished 12-17 overall. Like you said, they lost their head coach. They had an interim head coach. Caroline did a great job. 7-2 at home. Mott Gym's a great place. They packed that place for volleyball. It's a lot of fun. 7-9 in the Big West. So, I mean, they were respectable.
So, really. So the volleyball team packed the gym even last year.
I mean, it's amazing to see. There. Yeah, it's amazing to see who comes out. I mean, you have certain fans for volleyball, certain fans for soccer, but they were there every game and they were supporting their team. And a lot of fun volleyball, like you said, it's a little bit different as far as play by play goes, especially when I'm doing soccer and then you go to volleyball. It's slow
back
to fast,
forth,
but
forth, yeah.
You know, excited to have head coach Sam Crossan as a part of the coaching staff and the head coach now. Caroline moves down into an assistant position, but. Like I said, 12-17 overall. They were 7-9 in the Big West, and the Big West is tough conference. You know,
sure.
Not one of the best in the nation, but very, very difficult to play in. And you know, this year I'm looking forward to it. 10 total women's volleyball broadcasts we're going to be doing, bringing it on GoPoly.com. Idaho's the home opener against Cal Poly on August 30th. But you know, watching them last year, I was very impressed with their skill players. Molly Pond really picked it up at the end of the season. Right. I came about halfway through, so. It was kind of working my way into it, but
sure.
Keddie was a lot of fun. Jennifer Keddie was a lot of fun to watch. Molly Pond's returning this season. Megan McConnell was a lot of fun too, especially as a middle blocker in the middle of that lineup. So a lot of action. Volleyball's a lot of fun.
So those are the three kind of tall, jumping high kind of ladies that you're going to be looking at that the fans are going to be kind of probably seeing the most of.
Exactly.
Out of their team.
You talk about jumping high.
Yeah.
I mean, I just amazed. I mean, being right there on courtside.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen a women's volleyball game, you know, especially up close, I encourage you to come to Mott Gym and see, you know, these girls in action. I mean, it is amazing to see Molly Pond, the way they jump, the way they play, tremendous athletes, and a lot of fun and a ton of fun to call.
Yeah. And, it's something I was actually talking to Sam about was kind of the difference. He's a former men's player. I think he played at UOP and, kind of the difference between the men's game and the women's game and how there is, you know, a kind of marked difference. I kind of picture it and, I'm an uninformed guy with an opinion here, but I kind of picture it kind of like similar, I guess, to basketball maybe, where, you know, where there's the game's a little bit different. I mean, the game's the same. The game is the game.
Right.
The volleyball is still the volleyball. It's
right.
But you know, the net's a little bit different height. The players are usually, you know, a little bit different athletically. What are some things that that you saw last year that kind of kept Cal Poly? Was the tumult clear for somebody who's kind of watching from the outside? Was the did, you know, you said the assistant coach did a really good job. You thought, was the transition really clear that they were a team in transition in the middle of the season, or is that something that it's hard to see?
No, to be honest with you, it was difficult for me to see. I mean, the very first game I saw, Caroline Walters, who is assistant coach now under head coach Sam Crossland, who just signed a contract signed on with Cal Poly.
Right.
To be honest with you, you know, from an outsider looking in and then being, you know, again, thrown into the fire and doing the play-by-play right away with women's volleyball, I couldn't tell at all. Right. It didn't seem like they skipped a beat at all. And I think that says a lot for Cal Poly as an organization and as a college and a university. I mean, they are committed to their academics, first and foremost, but they're committed to their, you know, athletics as well. And, you know, I think the girls did a great job of warming up to Caroline Walters. And it's not like they have somebody brand new. I mean, Coach Crossland's going to be great this year. I can already tell. But having Caroline Walters and already having her being a part of the program, I think really helped.
Was useful, yeah, for sure. How much of a loss is Christina Graven going to be? She, of course, transferred to St. Mary's and was their second leading attacker last year. I think second in things like blocks, kill, kind of everything, just second on the score sheet to Jennifer Keddy. Tell me kind of how big of a loss that's going to be for the team, you think?
Well, I think Jennifer and Christina played extremely well together. You know, in Cal Poly, I mentioned Molly Pond and Megan McConnell, among others. Christina Graven, great athlete. She will be missed, but, you know, Cal Poly does an amazing job of filling in where they need to. And, you know, having someone like Jennifer Keddy and Megan McConnell and Molly Pond returning is a solid nucleus and a really, really good core for the women's volleyball team to build on. You know, softball, I mentioned, I do that as well. Did an amazing job last year with injuries and stuff and just filled in. And, you know, that's what Cal Poly does. You know, they are able to make transition when it's necessary. And, yeah, sure, having a player like Christina Graven, I mean, what did she average, 3.4 kills per set? I mean, that's great. I mean, Keddy led the team with four, so not that far off. So,
and with the conference player of the year.
Exactly, and we failed to mention 2011 Big West conference player of the year. So Graven will be missed, but you know what? Like I said, Cal Poly has the players to fill in, and I think they'll do a great job of that.
One thing I thought Sam Crossland said this week that was kind of telling was that he's trying to recruit players not into a specific system necessarily, but just recruit really good players over time and eventually kind of build the system around the players that he has. And I feel like, especially in a year where he's brand new, you know, he's got some time to evaluate over the summer and so forth. But I really feel like this year is going to be really maybe the most telling of kind of how quickly he can adjust over time. It's going to be easier for him, and he's not going to have to do as much of that adjustment because he's going to be able to recruit. But I thought it was kind of telling how he said that he's going to kind of recruit the players that are players and kind of build the system around them rather than recruiting specific players for a specific system.
Absolutely. I listened to the interview that you had with head coach Crossland, and I you know, I picked up some very, very interesting points. First off, again, I'd like to welcome him to the Central Coast. Seems like a really, really good guy. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him in person yet, but he's used
tall.
Some things like, is he?
Yeah,
well, volleyball.
Exactly. He's a volleyball player.
He used things, you know, quotes like getting better today, making the program better. Obviously, academics, Cal Poly is first and foremost, but, you know, from the weight room to practice, you know, I really don't think that they're going to skip a beat. Obviously, I mean, we have, you know, to see the 2012 season. But again, he comes from very good organizations.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff. I mean, he's a really, really intelligent coach. And, you know, again, he used a term like a good volleyball mind on his team. I like that. You know, when I heard that, it brought a smile on my face.
Right.
And again, you know, you said you're not super into volleyball. You know, I am really working towards it. I mean, and following it.
Yeah.
And to hear that from the head coach, that really means a lot.
I used to watch a lot of volleyball in high school. I went to school up in Cambria at Coast Union, and Pam Kenyon is the coach up there, and they have won, I think, maybe at least two or three CIF championships under her, including a couple of years ago they had one as well. So I used to go to a lot of volleyball games in high school.
Right.
And one of the questions I had was kind of, I'm as much of a casual fan of volleyball as I would be of women's soccer or something like that. I feel like I can tell more when I watch a soccer game. I can judge athletes. I can judge who's winning and who's not. The only thing I feel like I can ever judge in volleyball is momentum.
Right.
And when momentum starts to swing, that's kind of a fun thing for me as far as momentum just kind of building on itself in volleyball. I feel like there's no other sport like it in terms of momentum.
No, there truly isn't. The only thing that comes close would be maybe basketball.
Right.
But, you know, it's a back and forth affair as well, just like volleyball. But the momentum is huge. And that's something I really wasn't ready for when I started calling the games, you know, at Cal Poly. And all of a sudden it's, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points in a row and they call timeout. Then it all stops, you know. And, you know, in basketball, they do the same thing. But, boy, the momentum is huge. Momentum shifts. I mean, you're up, you know, 5-4 or something in the first set. You could go up real quick and bury the team alive in the first set and then take the rest of the match. But momentum is huge. And for Cal Poly this season, I think having seasoned players like Molly and Megan McConnell and Jennifer Keddie, huge, huge, especially with a first-year head coach, Sam Carlson.
So you were able to do, what do you say, 10 games this year is kind of what's on the docket for volleyball?
Let's see, I believe 10. Yeah,
and
10.
And most of those are going to probably be at Mott Gym, if not all. Talk about, I mean, they had a huge winning, what would you say they were on at home last year?
7-2.
7-2 at home. Why do you think that is? I mean, momentum probably being a key part of that. I mean, I feel like a crowd in volleyball can really make a big difference.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's our website's called Fansmanship. So the fans in volleyball, it seems like you get kind of the most bang for your buck as far as having a good fan base. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally agree. I mean, Mott Gym is amazing in itself. Just to hear the crowd when, you know, behind me, obviously I'm right down on the court, but just to hear it, it's a huge momentum builder. And you talk about momentum in volleyball. It's huge.
Do they put everybody on one side?
They try to, you know, you'll get the occasional fans on the other side trying to, you know, be loud and stuff. And,
but the comfortable seats
behind us, absolutely, it's great. And just the feeling at Mott Gym, it's electric. You know, I say it a lot on the broadcast, electric. And, you know, in order to feel it, and, you know, you just got to be there in person. But you know, I try to bring that to you. Volleyball is a lot of fun, and, you know, the momentum goes back and forth. And sure, being at home helps, but Mott Gym is a place like unlike any other.
Was the hardest thing about volleyball not trying to kind of call every single little part of what's going on? I mean, it seems like there's a balance there, right? Was that the hardest thing to kind of get about calling volleyball?
Definitely. The first couple games, you know, I'm trying to go back and forth and say every single part of the play-by-play. And that was difficult, you know, and I found myself stumbling over words. And I think anybody would, you know, getting themselves into a sport like volleyball.
Yeah.
But like I said, the main players, the main, you know, spots of the game,
yeah,
you know, who's serving obviously is very important. You know, who has the ball, who has the lead, and that's that kind of stuff. But sure, I mean, you know, I want to get as many players' names in the game and involved in the broadcast as well. And but yeah, there is... you know, kind of a gray area with volleyball. You don't want to say too much, but then at the same time, you don't want it to be super quiet, you know.
Sure, and it seems like there's a little bit of a, like in baseball, I always feel like the baseball play-by-play guys who get themselves in trouble are like when they anticipate that the ball's going to get caught or when they anticipate that the ball's going to go over the wall.
Right.
I mean, you know, sometimes there's no doubters, right? But you know, oh man, it's way gone. Oh wait, the guy's going to catch it on the morning check.
Oh,
right?
There, yeah, he is. At the
so like the guys track who are successful to me anyway,
right,
seem like they are almost like over, if I was in their shoes, I would be almost over hesitant to like,
yeah,
give it a second, give it a tick to, right, to give yourself there. And with the crowd in volleyball, you know, they can kind of hear what's going on, I guess. But,
right,
but that seems like it would be kind of the toughest thing from a play-by-play
perspective. Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of the balls that go out of bounds, you know, you're thinking to yourself, wow, that was on, you know, that was in, you know, and they call it out or something. And of course the coach gets up, but volleyball is a lot of fun to call. I'm really looking forward to the season. And, you know, Cal Poly, like I said, 12-17 last year, 7-2 at home, but, Mott Gym, a great place to watch a volleyball game.
Awesome. Let's kind of shift gears from women's volleyball, who, I think is probably going to be, along with football, one of the kind of biggest, most scrutinized, sports at Cal Poly this season anyway, to men's soccer. I had a chance to talk to head coach Paul Holher a couple weeks ago, and he was up at a development training camp. Mm-hmm. It seems like he does a lot with kind of the USA Olympic development team, I think is kind of what the ODT, I think is what he described it as.
Mm-hmm.
And I read online that the ODT is going to be called something else, and just kind of the mess of, you know, the national men's soccer team that I guess they're trying to fix, and he's trying to be a part of that. Talk about the men's soccer team last year and kind of their outlook for the upcoming year.
had some huge games last year. Paul talked about it. Head coach Hollihur talked about it on the broadcast or in the interview that you had with you earlier. Uh-huh. I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. 12th toughest schedule in the nation. They only finished 6-9-3, but I mean, unbelievable the way they played that game against Santa Barbara. I think that was my first play-by-play broadcast for Cal Poly. And the action in men's soccer and women's as well, but men's soccer is so much fun. People a lot of times think soccer, it's a big field. There's not a whole lot going on, but those guys are tough and a lot of fun. The very first game I mentioned was UC Santa Barbara, and right. I mean, hard to get better than that. But then we go down to UC Santa Barbara later in the year, and there's more people there. So
right, and that they fill it up too, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think Cal Poly had something like a little over 11,000 fans at home at Alex G. Spandau Stadium. Then we went down to Santa Barbara, and I think it was 12,000.
Really?
So, oh yeah, they're
and they don't even have a football team. So where do they play?
I forget.
Do they play on campus?
They play on campus, absolutely.
Okay, so they have a stadium there on campus.
Oh, yeah, they have a stadium. Harder Stadium, I believe it is.
And they hosted the NCAA finals last year, was it, or 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
So that might have been like the upgrade to their stadium. That might have been a good
reason. Right, I mean, the press box and everything. It was nice. Yeah. It was nice. But, Alex G. Spandau Stadium, of course, is a venue unlike any other. And, again, just like Mott Gym, if you haven't been to Alex G. Spandau Stadium, I encourage you to do so. Those fans, they pack the place green and yellow. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, so tell me, for fans who haven't been, and it seems like there's not a lot of people around here who haven't been to a Cal Poly soccer game because, they have the Green Army and they average, they're like top 15 in the country in attendance. And for a small, small community and a sport like soccer, it speaks to the soccer community that's around here. Talk about some of the differences between college soccer and maybe something you might find in MLS or what are some of the differences, the rule difference, are there unlimited substitutions for somebody who doesn't know any better?
Right.
What's the big difference that they'll notice
to be honest with you, I'll be honest with you, Owen, it's just the speed of the game.
Right.
You go from high school to college and that's a big jump, but then you go from college to MLS. And I mean, I was fortunate enough to call a MLS soccer game last year, San Jose against, it was Colorado Rapids.
Uh-huh.
And tremendous athletes, just the speed of the game, how quick they are, how good they are at making adjustments, right. When the other team brings in a substitution or something. But
the thing that I always notice is the first touch.
Right.
When you watch a college team, that first touch, or when you watch, they used to do MLS, used to scrimmage against college teams. When I lived in Pueblo, Colorado, they'd play like CSU Pueblo.
Right.
And it would be, they're like third team against CSU Pueblo, and they'd win, 5 or 6-0 or whatever.
Right.
It was a good fundraiser for both of them.
Right.
What I noticed in those games especially is you'll see a first touch that from the MLS guys, they touch the ball and it's right there, right where they want it to be.
Right.
And it's not always the case in soccer. And when you get it in the college game, when you get a guy who can get that first touch how they want it, you'll get a guy who's going to be, an exceptional player at the college game.
Right, absolutely.
Off a long pass.
First touch and first step, is huge. And especially at this level for the Mustangs and Cal Poly and the Big West Conference, you have teams like UC Irvine, UC Santa Barbara, of course, teams that are ranked, year in and year out. And head coach Hollihur has done a tremendous job of rearing his team in that direction. I mentioned 6-9-3 last year, but the 12th toughest schedule in the nation. And there's nothing like a first touch in college soccer, and seeing a player that is just heads and tails above everyone else on the field. We saw that a few times last year. Cal Poly, of course, and then a couple other teams we saw last year had just tremendous players. But you're right about the first touch.
Talk to me about the Green Army. That's the group that goes to all the games, and it seems like every good soccer program, whether it be a college or a pro level soccer team, has kind of this core group of rabid fans. I went to a Galaxy game and it was everybody who stood behind one of the goals, and then like in a corner too, they would yell at each other, and they were standing the whole game and jumping up and down.
Right.
Talk to me about the Green Army. What's that like?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Just to be up in the press box and then to look down and just see a sea of green down to the right of us where we are in the press box is utterly incredible. Their vuvuzelas are going. I remember the first time I walked into Coach Hollihur's office, hey, how's it going? The hellos and all that, and kind of got acclimated to his system and stuff. And we were talking a little bit, and he asked me, he said, have you ever been to a game? And I said, no. And he said, oh man, you're going to love the Green Army. And just the handful of games that I called last year, calling for Cal Poly men's soccer, the Green Army, I fell in love with. They're amazing. You know, everything from painting their bodies to wearing coats and capes, and I mean, you name it. They are yelling. They've got their horns. I mean, it's quite a sight to see. So if, obviously, the action on the field is amazing. But if you're going to come for anything else at Alex Hispano Stadium, the Green Army is something to definitely take a look at.
To check out. I think it's pretty much their season ticket holders are the Green Army, basically, right? It's kind of their...
Yeah, they have their spot. Yeah. You know, they're spotted every game, so they know they're going to, you know, not have to go searching for a spot, because sometimes it gets packed, especially on the home side.
Right. But and especially for games against, like, Santa Barbara.
It UC always Irvine.
Is, yeah. And Irvine. And
packed some of those teams. All the time.
Who's the class of the Big West? I'll ask you first for volleyball and then for soccer, since we didn't talk about it. Who's kind of the perennial... he mentioned, like, Long Beach State, Coach Crossan did in volleyball. Yeah.
Boy, Long Beach State's really good in volleyball. Yeah. Cal Poly gave them an absolute battle last year. They had some tremendous players. Both teams had tremendous athletes. It was a lot of fun to watch. It went back and forth. Cal Poly came very close when they played at home against Long Beach State. The 49ers are good. 49ers are very good. But I'd say Cal Poly's right there. You know, you talk about middle of the pack. One of the coaches was talking about not too much separation from the top to the bottom. Big West
Sam
is,
said that too in volleyball, yeah.
Very, very difficult to pick a team. Long Beach State's good. I think Cal State Northridge is pretty good. UC Davis always fields a pretty decent team. But, you know, Cal Poly will be right there. And then, of course, in soccer, like I said, UC Irvine, UC Santa Barbara, very tough. But you know what? When you get into these rivalry games, you have no idea what's going to happen. And,
yeah, it seems like, and again, kind of the little things that happen along the way, you know, you're not that – I mean, I know it's kind of a coach credo, but a 12-17 team in volleyball – isn't that much worse than a 17-12 team.
No.
And it's little things that happen, you know, here and there. I feel like soccer is the same way. And for as different a place as both programs are in, as far as from their leadership perspective and from, you know, kind of who they are as a pro. I mean, men's soccer, for having gone, what, she said 6-9-3 or something like that last year?
6-9-3.
They're a solidified program. They had, like you said, the 12th toughest record. And I guess volleyball is too, to an extent, but again, they're kind of going through some transitions. But I feel like both programs in certain aspects are kind of in a similar place where they probably feel like they need to win some games. They kind of need to turn around. Right. It's something that, you know, for the basketball program, they have kind of turned it around for men's basketball anyway, you know, and women's have been good for a while.
Right.
But for the men's program, they were kind of in a similar place as the volleyball and men's soccer a number of years, you know, before Coach Calero got there. And the first thing he did, and it's funny, you know, start just win games.
Right.
Right. You just have to kind of start winning some games to get kind of the perception of, and it's something I kind of felt, I wasn't embarrassed talking to Coach Holher about it, but it's this idea that, you know, I said, okay, so I'm looking and I'm a casual fan and I see that you guys were 6-9-3 and, you know, what am I supposed to, and he, you know, he was quick to tell me, hey, we have the 12th toughest record. We play everybody. Right. But, you know, how much pressure is there on a coach like Paul or like Sam to kind of start performing right away or kind of turn things around in Paul's case?
Well, for Paul, I mean, he's the product on the field is good every single year. And we talked about the 12th toughest schedule. He's an amazing person to talk to, but to watch him coach and watch him in his element is amazing. You know, me coming into Cal Poly and them welcoming into their family and broadcasting their games, just watching Coach Holher on the sidelines with his team. I mean, he runs a tight ship, you know, and they buy into what he done. Just like head coach Mimna for women's basketball, Coach Calero for men's basketball, and all the way down to softball and head coach Condon. They buy in, and I think it's so important for the players to buy into what their coach is selling, so to speak. And for head coach Crossan, you know, for women's volleyball, yeah, it's going to be a little bit difficult. Sure. Big West Conference, I mean, that's a big conference. I mean, we're not talking about a small little conference here. This is the Big West Conference. You know, the action is fierce every game. You talk about holding serve at home, Mott Gym. It's huge. But yeah, him coming in, I really enjoyed listening to the interview that you had with him on Fansmanship on your website. Uh-huh. And the things he was saying and talking about getting volleyball minded players, you know, and people to buy into the program. Well, but
it'll be interesting to see how quickly he can do that or how long that transition takes. I feel like that for any new coach, right? It's that's why I say they're gonna be like the second or third most interesting sport probably on campus this year.
Oh, yeah, people are gonna wanna see
what, you know,
what do we have?
Yeah, what's going to really happen here?
It's going to be fun for me, too, to sit down and pick Sam's brain a little bit before the season and talk to him before contests and stuff. But like I said, I mean, he's got a solid core. Mm-hmm. He's got Caroline Walters, and he's got a great support staff there with his assistants and stuff. And I think it'll be a little bit easier for Sam to make the adjustment, and it sounds like he has already.
Back to soccer, one thing that Coach Holher talked about was kind of getting guys who are ready or who want to develop themselves into potentially professional players, guys who want to act professional, guys who want to, and I saw there's somebody on there who has Vancouver Whitecaps under their...
Ian Clark.
Yeah, under their kind of name, kind of what they've been doing recently.
Sure.
And that's actually the only MLS game I've ever been to was the Galaxy against the Whitecaps. And it was funny because I saw, the Galaxy won, I think, 3-0. They had 3 goals in the first 30 minutes. But then I saw later on, they went up to Vancouver and they tied 2-2. And it wasn't even close, the game I saw. And that's the fun thing about soccer to me is that no matter how good you are, you get your 90 minutes out there. However, is it 90 in college too?
It's 45 and 45, 45 right?
Same. Extra time. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, great. And so you talk about one game at a time or whatever, but the worst team can figure it out in soccer sometimes. And sometimes more often than not, you'll see the team who might not have the run of play be the team that gets in there. Did you feel like that happened for the men's soccer team a number of times last year? Somebody told me there was a game against that they outshot the opponent like 18-2 and they tied 0-0 or something like that.
I believe that was New Mexico.
Yeah.
One of their second game of the year. Yeah. I mean, actually New Mexico went undefeated all of last season, and Cal Poly played them great. I mean, they played New Mexico. West Virginia was ranked 12th. Akron was ranked 4th. But absolutely to watch these teams go at it, you got to remember, this is Division I soccer and it's Big West Conference, sure, and it's huge. I mean, on the Central Coast, it means a lot, but, they're human beings as well. And sometimes they're going to have a bad game. Yeah. Goalie's going to, let a goal go through, or your defense is going to have a hole here and there and stuff.
Sure.
But, like I said, the team has really bought into what head coach Holler has sold. And I'm sold as a broadcaster watching them and able to call it. It's a ton of fun.
What's your favorite sport?
Oh gosh!
Is that too political a question?
Well,
for you?
Well, to broadcast.
What's your favorite sport?
I would say baseball.
Baseball, just in general.
Your favorite just in general sport. Yeah. To watch. There's so much that goes into baseball. People say baseball is like watching grass grow, and I kind of look at them. Have you ever seen a baseball game? You've been to a baseball game.
Strategy, baseball versus softball. It's totally different, and so is calling softball like deceptively hard for you?
The first couple or games were a little bit tricky. I'll use the word tricky. Uh-huh. Base pass 60 feet instead of 90.
Right.
There's no mound.
Right.
The players obviously.
Girls are running and running and hitting and like
slap
all kinds
hitters.
Of, right. You have a different kind of element in softball. And I guess, I see less of the dominant pitcher lately.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the hitters have kind of caught up to the, back when I was in like high school or middle school, I remember watching Lisa Fernandez or Jenny Finch or players like that who would pitch. And when they pitched, the other team just didn't score.
Right.
They maybe scored one if they were like amazingly.
Or got one hit.
Or got one hit if they were amazingly lucky. I mean, you talk about these ladies who threw, 3 no-hitters a year or something.
Right.
I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like in general, the hitters have caught up, or is it just that I know that I see more games now? I'm kind of more exposed.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, which is it?
Well, for softball, for sure. I mean, the hitters are so good. But as far as pitching goes, when you talk about softball, I'm drawing a blank on the name of UC Davis.
UC Davis pitcher. Okay.
Unbelievable. Cal Poly was able to face her 2 days in a row.
Right, because you can pitch
time.
2 days in a row.
You can. Oh, yeah, and these girls do, and it's amazing. Cal Poly did as well. But to see some of these girls do what they do and to have, watch them throw 7 and 8 innings and then go the next day and do it again, absolutely amazing. But, baseball, the same thing. But, yeah, the transition from baseball to football.
Yeah, so how's that transition been tough for you?
As far as
the
play-by-play?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little bit, like I said, a little bit tricky at first. Instead of calling, the circle, saying in the mound, they're not on a mound.
They're back in the circle.
They're in a circle, right. So it is a little bit difficult, but you know what? A lot of fun.
Vela?
Justine Vella.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Yes, you got it. You go. Nice. Yeah. Justine Vella. Wow, what a pitcher. Yeah. Unbelievable. And, I mean, to Cal Poly's credit, Cal Poly had some really good hitters in their lineup. They had power in the middle of their lineup this year, and they were unable to hit Justine Vella. I think she threw a one-hitter against him, and I think it was a two-hitter or something. But she but yes, the pitchers is tough. I think the hitters have adapted, though. And, yeah, you're not seeing as many really, really dominant pitchers.
Right, right. And baseball, is there, like, a reason why it's your favorite? Is just the... That it's the thing that you're kind of most, that you're most attached
to. Maybe. Yeah, I just like the strategy with baseball. Yeah. Watching the players. There's so many different types of players. Watching the pitcher do his thing on the mound and watching the player adjust.
Sure.
You know, I grew up a Dodger fan, obviously, in Orange County. Right. And to be honest with you, when I was very young, 4 and 5 years old, I would literally go out in the backyard, my mom and dad's backyard. Mm-hmm. I would take the box score and I'd run the bases and I'd call the game. And okay. I think baseball at a young age just kind of stuck with me. And I watched it, you know, growing up and throughout the years. And that's why, of course, at the JC I came from, right, broadcasting, I said, can we please do baseball? But
and Saddleback has a pretty good tradition as far as sports go, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Great. It reminds you a lot of Cal Poly. So the transition wasn't too difficult. Obviously, moving from a JC to a Division I broadcasting. But, you know, academics, number one. And athletics, obviously, 1A. But Saddleback puts an emphasis on their academics just like Cal Poly does.
Let's... last but not least for today, anyway, let's switch to women's soccer. Women's soccer, I'm going to admit, it's the one I know the least about. It's the one I haven't interviewed the coach.
Right.
Right. So I have interviewed Sam and Paul. I haven't talked to Coach Crozier. So tell me a little bit about the women's soccer team. What did they do last year? Okay. What's their outlook? What's their kind of prognosis if you're a fan for the upcoming year?
Right. No, there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Cal Poly women's soccer fan. Alex Crozier, 21st season. So you talk about Cal Poly soccer. I mean, someone that's been at the Stead for that long. Sure. Head coach Crozier has been there with 21 years. And they signed 7 players to a national letter of intent this offseason. Last year, 9-9-1. But what fans forget to look at or forget to realize is that they've started 8-5-1. They went 1-4 down the stretch. And, of course, I think the 6 games I think I broadcasted for women's soccer last year, I think they went 2-4.
Yeah.
But started 8-5-1, a lot to be excited about this season. Returning player Sarah Lancaster was a freshman last year. She led the team in goals with 8. Christina Farrington's another big name, and Cece Kobinski. You know, they play 3 NCAA tournament teams from 2011 this season. you know, the women's soccer, again, head coach Crozier, he's put really big teams on the map and on their schedule for a reason, you know, to get them ready for the Big West Conference. But Cal Poly women's soccer, definitely going to be an exciting season. And they lost their goalie, Brooke Govan, to graduation, so that'll be an interesting transition for them. But head coach Crozier, just like head coach Holliher with soccer, does an amazing job.
Like I said, I'm totally a casual soccer and volleyball fan. I'm by no means, you know, anything close to an expert. one thing that I've been told, one of my better friends was a girls soccer coach at like the maybe early high school, late middle school level. The comment that he always had was, I'm never coaching boys. he said, girls actually like listen to me. They keep their shape. They don't go rogue and like, and go, you know, as far as like, you know, the midfielders go where they need to go. And at that level, that was a big deal to him.
Right.
I thought it was kind of a telling comment. And can you tell that at this level, or are the boys reined in by now? Are the men, now that they're in men's soccer, reined in now, or can you tell kind of a difference as far as strategy kind of being more closely followed? Is it easier to follow strategy in the women's game as far as, you know, who's pushing forward, who's laying off a little bit more?
Right, right. I mean, the styles are very similar. Cal Poly women's and men's soccer, very similar. But, if you haven't bought into head coach Holliher system, you will very quickly. So, but or, men's soccer...
Or you won't, and you won't be out there.
That's exactly right. You'll be on the bench or you won't be there. Yeah. For women's soccer, you know, the differences between men's and women's, I say a little bit slower. Obviously, basketball's a little bit slower as well. But, you know, that just comes with the territory. But, you know, very similar styles. You're going to have some really, really, really good players out there. And then at times you're going to have freshmen that are in the lineup that are still learning the system and stuff. But players like Sarah Lancaster really jumped in last year as a freshman. And I'm really excited to see her this year, as well as, like I said, a host of other women's soccer players. But, yeah, I'd say the speed
The speed of the game, it's easier to call.
Right.
And that's probably, for me as a casual fan, why it's easier for me to tell when they're making the adjustments. It's
right.
As the... you know, as the speed of the game goes up and people say, you know, well, the NBA players are just doing whatever they want. Actually, they're running sets. They're just faster than everybody else. Yeah. And you just can't really tell unless you have a really keen eye. And most of the time I can't tell.
Right.
But I know that it's happening, right? And I feel the same way when it moves from high school where, you know, it's easy to tell, you know, strategy or it's easy to tell a shift in strategy, an adjustment mid-game. In a game like soccer, you know, it's a lot harder to tell sometimes, you know, later on. So we've talked about three sports that are, you know, again, kind of random and not random, but they're not the sports that everybody, you know, we talk about men's basketball and football. That's like the big attendance sports, right? The attendance sports. And I'll be at the men's basketball and football games this year.
Right.
What's one, I guess, reason to come see each of the three sports, volleyball, men's soccer, and women's soccer? Who are the, you told me volleyball, the most exciting player is obviously Jennifer Keddie.
Amazing athlete.
Men's soccer, who's the player to look for the upcoming year?
This season, they lost a couple really, really good players. Kyle Montgomery was a team leader. Patrick Sigler, who scored that goal against Santa Barbara. Wes Fainer, who was signed by an MLS team, I believe. I'm not sure if he's still playing in the MLS. I'd say Chris Gashen. He's going to be a leader this season.
What position does he play?
I believe he's a midfielder, Chris Gashen, midfielder forward. I think he's actually a slash. He does both for Cal Poly.
Okay.
Fun player to watch, high energy. Ian Clark, you mentioned, played for the Whitecaps. He had some really, really good minutes last season for head coach Holliher. Dakota Collins was fun to watch. He scored some goals last year for the Mustangs in men's soccer. But, you know, and Connor Drexler, again, he's a more of a defender. He plays defense for the men's soccer team, and he's fun to watch as well. But I'd say Chris Gashen, you're going to give someone a lot of airtime, Chris Gashen will probably be, I'll be calling his name a lot.
You'll be saying his name a lot, yeah. And do you get the feeling, you know, you mentioned the Whitecaps, and I mentioned it earlier. Do you get the feeling that, like, the men's soccer team, I don't want to say compared to other Poly teams, but compared to other teams that you see, is there a difference in the way they carry themselves? Like, Coach Holliher really wants, like you said, you know, they ought to be on board. But he also mentioned wanting guys who want to be pros, who want to work that way, who want to have that professional attitude.
Right.
Is that something that's easy to see?
Well, I mean, as far as talent-wise, once you get to this level, there's an engine that certain guys can turn on and certain guys cannot. I mean, that's just physical, you know.
But as far as, like, how they carry themselves, how they're go about their business.
Team leaders, Patrick Sigler last year was the team leader. I mean, everybody looked up to him. I mean, he was the guy in the middle of that defense. Great player, tremendous person, great player to talk to. And I believe Chris Gashen would be somebody like that this season. Obviously, we've yet to see a game.
We'll see.
Right. I mean, leaders in soccer, especially men's soccer, are very, very easy to see when they huddle up or you know, you can see embarking orders on the field. And if you're a soccer fan, you can usually pick out, you know, the big guys on the team.
How about women's soccer? Whose name are you going to be calling?
Well, like I talked about Lancaster. She was a freshman last year. I think if she's back this season, I think she's going to have a really good season. Well, scored 8 goals as a freshman last year. Christina Farrington was fun to watch, and Cece Kobinski. Let's see, Farrington scored 4 goals last year, and Kobinski had 2 as well as Casey Held.
And Lancaster's from Reno, so, you know, out of state.
Right, out of state. Yeah. And that's what was kind of interesting. Out of state and a freshman. You know, and I started looking, right when I got to Cal Poly, I started looking up the stats and stuff, getting ready for the first broadcast. I saw... Gosh, a freshman, you know, and she was a ton of fun to watch. Like I said, certain players assert themselves on the field, and they go above and beyond what their coach asks them. Lancaster was a lot of fun to watch. They lost Tiffany Gummo. She was a team leader and had been with the team for 4 years. So, you know, like I talked about the Big West Conference, the opener against for women's soccer's 28th against Pacific. But the top 5 scorers last year for women's soccer scored 23 goals. 15 or 16 of those goals are coming back this year. So that's definitely a good sign.
Yeah, that's not bad. I know for the men's team, it's a lot different.
Defense. You know,
they scored less goals than games they played, I think.
Let's see. Men's soccer, they scored 15 and gave up 17, which was
and played how many games?
18.
18, right. Exactly. So there's a structure there. And again, that structure, I think, you know, like in Coach Claro's case, where the basketball team wins a game that they scored 38 points last year.
Right. It was 42-36, I think, against USC.
If you're doing that, you're winning games, then people be okay with that, I think.
Absolutely.
That's been established.
A win is a win.
They say. Whether you're like the women's basketball team that's running and scoring 100 points in a game or something, or the men's team, right? A win's a win.
Absolutely.
One thing to kind of look out for in fall sports, what are you most excited about fall sports wise for Cal Poly?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm excited about the following. You know, I mean, it was exciting to see soccer, and then I started doing the volleyball, obviously, and then we transitioned into basketball. Basketball, the beginning of the season, yes, you know, we had fans, but as the season wore on, yeah. I mean, the record was good, but yeah. the fans really started coming and they started noticing, you know, yeah. Men's basketball as well. And then softball was really exciting to see how many people came up for softball.
So a lot of people, even though they had a, they struggled. Right?
Yeah, they struggled. I mean, they had a tough season, but yeah, I mean, to see the support and stuff and see the same familiar faces there, everything. And also for Cal Poly, you know, as far as softball went,
yeah.
I saw a lot of players. Chris Eversley, men's basketball, was there at a lot of games. You know, assistant coaches for Cal Poly basketball. I mean, women's basketball, men's, they were there supporting the team. So that is what I really look forward to. And you know, Cal Poly is a family, you know, and like I said, I mean, I appreciate them welcoming into their family. Eric Burdick, you know, Brian Thurman and Chris Giovanetti, great guys to work with. But, you know, I'm most excited to see the following and to see the people's faces as they're at the games. You know, I mean, yes, the Central Coast, you mentioned on one of the interviews you had, I think it was last week, not a ton of people, I mean, compared to LA and San Francisco. Sure. But you know what? The support from the Central Coast that Cal Poly has with their athletics is something that I've been amazed at and something I'm really looking forward to.
Was that surprising to you?
Well, I mean, I knew soccer and I knew, you know, the, like you said, the big sports, the attended sports, football and basketball. But yes, to see, it was a little bit surprising, but a good surprise.
Sure, sure. Last but not least, you can be found on the air this year on GoPoly.com.
GoPoly.com. That's the one place that you can find me. I also have a website as well, iBroadcastSports.com. I'll have... that's my personal website. Be able to check out the games archived on there as well. So
on iBroadcastSports.com.
iBroadcastSports.com. That's mine.
And GoPoly.com has the Nelligan Sports feed. Right. For people who don't know, what is Nelligan Sports?
Nelligan Sports is the company, I believe.
They say brought to you by Nelligan, or I was in Minnesota and they said brought to you by like the Paradise Island Network, and I'm thinking to myself, what?
Well, behind every, you know, good broadcast and school, obviously, I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth, and hopefully I get this correct, but for Cal Poly and for GoPoly.com and ESPN 1280 and stuff, Nelligan Sports is the company that I would almost say backs them. They're what do you call it? The producers of the movie.
They're the producers.
Sure. They're the guys behind the scenes that you don't see at the games. You'll see. Guys from Nelligan, or guys and girls from Nelligan at the games, but they are the ones that make it happen, you know. But GoPoly.com is a lot of fun. It's you know, the regular website for Cal Poly Athletics, everything up to date, sports and Twitter as well. And during the game, I'll Twitter as well.
And so, you have Twitter, and you have a Twitter account.
I do, at Dave CP Mustangs.
There you go, at Dave CP Mustangs. And the first game for each sport. Let's talk about the first game and the first broadcast game. Do you have that?
The very first broadcast. Let's see. I will be doing men's soccer. That's August 11th. That's been ingrained in my mind for a long time.
August 11th.
That's against the University of San Francisco. That's an exhibition game. Really looking forward to that. That's on GoPoly.com. Let's see. Women's soccer. First home game in the first women's soccer broadcast Sunday, August 19th. That's against Cal State Bakersfield.
Right.
That game's at noon on GoPoly.com. And then as for women's volleyball, we are going to go to, let's see, Saturday, September 29th is the home opener. The very first broadcast for women's volleyball, August 30th, that's a Thursday at 5 o'clock against Idaho.
Great. And if you go to the website and you go to the schedule, that's where I found there was a link from the schedule page on the website.
Exactly. It just says audio.
Audio. And you could click there. It usually comes up, pops up about a half hour before the game.
Right.
When the pregame starts. And
Chris and Brian, I believe they do it a little bit ahead of time.
Once you get that feed, that page, then there's a list of all the other games that are coming up too that are going to be on there. You can click right on there and set that up. Dave Grant, I really appreciate it. Yep. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
So what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
The sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.